God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We are not to have a spirit of fear. Be still and know that I'm the Lord, God said. One of my great spiritual mentors made me familiar with the fact that that is not the Zen God saying, chill out, dude. It's the God of commands. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. We're also told time and again in the New Testament and elsewhere in the Bible to not have a spirit of fear, to not let our hearts be troubled. So when I say this to you, it's not because I fear it. It's simply because I haven't heard people talking about it. It goes to a level of blindness to me. You know, people have taken President Trump to be the literal orange Hitler, quite literally Hitler, not figuratively Hitler, but literally Hitler, because he's orange and he says terrible things on Twitter and he's rude and he said some terrible things on audio tape and he can be rude. His policies, well, I mean, they were very middle of the road. For the most part, his big policy was a tax cut that brought businesses back. Businesses that found it cheaper to hire hundreds of tax accountants and tax lawyers in order to legally offshore their businesses across the world. And now that he cut the tax rates, they came back. And of course, leaving again because of what Joe Biden's doing. That was a major thing President Trump did. Very controversial math, tax rates and such. So they said that he would lead to nuclear war, would take us to the edge of nuclear war. Did I say this is about spiritual blindness? It is. If Satan can blind a generation of people from the word of God, do you not think he can blind them from the reality of the world in which they live? I absolutely think that. You know, when Satan took the Lord Jesus to the tall places, he was saying, look, I can give you dominion over this entire earth. All you need to do is bow down to me. And the Lord Jesus, of course, answered with scripture and refused, of course, Satan's game. Satan offers us these things all the time. Sometimes they seem quite little. Oh, sure, you can have that special friendship. I can? Sure. Yeah, nothing bad could happen. But it can. And in the case of the world bosses, you can have dominion now. And in the case of others, you can be part of something bigger than yourself, fighting against Orange Man Hitler. That's your mission on Earth, to fight against Orange Man Hitler. That's what you were sent here for. Fulfill that mission. That is your mission. No, it's a distraction. Satan can distort, distract, and depress. He has a limited toolkit, but he's expert at using it. So if Satan can spiritually blind people, and he can, how would he not blind people to the reality in which they're living? President Trump, we were told, would take us to the edge of a nuclear conflict. And then today I read this from the Telegraph. NATO in talks to put nuclear weapons on standby. Why? Because of Ukraine. The most important nation in the world is Ukraine. More important than all other nations combined. Nuclear war. Over a portion of Ukraine that a few years ago was Russia. Where people in that region, many of them want to be Russian. Do I want this war? No. What do I think of Vladimir Putin? He's a kleptocratic thug. What do I think of Zelensky? He's a kleptocratic thug. Are they equal in my mind? To a large degree. I think that Putin's probably a KGB murderer. I think Zelensky is a hand-picked puppet. Putin does not admire the sexual left, and in that way is different from Zelensky, who loves the sexual left. But it's corrupt. I can't pick sides. I can pick the human beings. and say it is aberrant to see human beings murdered by a military political machine. And I can't pick sides between those two countries' bosses, but NATO can. Ukraine's the most important nation on Earth, therefore they're going to put nuclear weapons on standby. Those would be weapons for which we paid. Yep, Orange Man Hitler. If Satan can spiritually blind people, and he can, of course he can blind people to the realities of the world in which they're living. Jonathan Turley writes, "This week I received emails from the Connecticut Bar members over a message posted by President Maggie Castaneda, President-elect James G.M.T. Sharon, and Vice President Emily Giganto, warning them about criticizing the prosecution of former President Donald Trump. The message from the bar leadership is chilling for those lawyers who view cases like this one in Manhattan as a raw political prosecution. While the letter does not outright state that such criticism will be considered unethical conduct, it states that the criticism, quote, has no place in the public discourse, and calls on members to speak publicly in support of the integrity of these legal proceedings. The statement begins by warning members that, quote, words matter, end quote, but then leaves the ramification of bar members dangling and how it might matter to them. They simply note that comments will be viewed as, quote, crossing the line from criticism to dangerous rhetoric, end quote. According to the Connecticut Bar, it is now considered reckless and unprofessional to make analogies to show trials or question the integrity of the legal system or the judges in such cases. For example, criticizing Judge Juan Merchan for refusing to recuse from the case is considered beyond the pale. Many lawyers believe that his political contributions to Biden and his daughter's major role as a Democratic fundraiser and activist should have prompted Merchan to remove himself in any appearance of conflict. I've been more critical of his rulings, which I believe are both biased and wrong. A bar association telling lawyers, you have to support all legal proceedings. Well, let's be honest. All legal proceedings that go against literal Hitler, Orange Man, bad Donald Trump. Satan can blind you spiritually. He can blind you to the world in which you're living. Merchant was a corrupt judge. Alvin Bragg is a demonstrably corrupt, monstrously corrupt prosecutor. It was clearly a show trial. And we could go through it point by point by point, but we already have. On the topic of corruption and the blinding to people of reality, how do you prove elections are safe and effective? Pardon me, those are these so-called vaccines. How do you prove that we had safe and secure elections? In the absence of signature checking, in the willingness to accept ballots after the date of the election. How do you do that? You don't. Wes Allen, the Alabama Secretary of State, says he has proof the people who run Joe Biden are registering illegals to vote.
We got a complaint about a relative of a deceased individual that received a voter registration form. And so that caused alarm bells, obviously, to go off in my mind. And so we started asking some questions from where this voter registration card came from, but it led us down another path to basically discover that anyone that comes in contact with certain state agencies, whether or not they receive benefits or not, receive a voter registration form in the mail. And we just find that appalling. And it's because of the National Voter Registration Act that was passed back in 1993. And, the state agency's hands are tied because they're following federal law. But it goes right along with Biden's executive order that he signed back in 2021 that really weaponizes and mobilizes the entire federal government apparatus to be voter registration agencies. And so we're just shocked at what we found. And, we wanted to alert and expose this and to make sure that the public knows about it.
The public knows about it now, and those of us who've been tracking this for years have known about it then. If Satan can blind people spiritually, and he can blind them to the happenings in the world in which they're living now from the Independent. Four Connecticut Democrats are charged after video showed them stuffing a ballot box and triggering a new mayoral election. Wait, stuffing a ballot box? How would you do that? Oh, like in Georgia? Where when the election counting had stopped and supposedly the building was being flooded. People pulled out suitcases with papers in them, started counting stuff. Counting ballots again and again and again have been shown to have happened like that. But we're not to speak of such things. I'm not a lawyer. I can't be disbarred for saying this, but I'll say it. I will debate anybody, anywhere, anytime, on any platform, who says that they can prove our elections are safe and secure. And I'll make it easy. Just simply show me the mechanisms for that. Just show me how you would do that. Given the tools you have, where there's no signature verification, ballots are accepted after the date of the election, there is no chain of custody when you just drop off hundreds of ballots. One person can drop off 100 ballots or 200 into drop boxes, then whoever picks them up. Or when you are using paper, as has happened in Arizona for ballots that was not approved. There was one type of paper approved. Where did those other ballots come from? That's not on paper that was agreed to. The case cannot be made. When Satan can blind people spiritually, he can blind people to the happenings in their own world, the world in which we live now, before the new heaven and the new earth. Gavin Newsom, the dictator of California, pretended he has National Guard members helping to secure the border. He was instantly fact-checked by actual people, not the fact-checkers.
So back down here at the border, Tijuana, right behind me, San Diego sector, this is the San Ysidro port of entry, not too far away, which is the largest in the Western Hemisphere. Now, we're just down here with the National Guard, meeting with customs agents, as well as Border Patrol, talking about our partnerships, 390 National Guardsmen and women that have been working, particularly as it relates to fentanyl here in the state of California. Look at the bottom line, at the end of the day, they need more resources. Everybody needs more resources. And the Republican Party has been consistently standing in the way of providing the resources, the support for the men and women working hard, not only here at the border, but out throughout the state of California and this country to address the issues related to the border. It's time for them to stop playing politics. It's time for the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, to stop playing politics and do the right thing.
By some measures, we have a $300 trillion debt. The number that D.C. will admit to is $130 trillion if you take unfunded liabilities, and $30 trillion if you want to just go with hard money owed. But we need more resources, says Gavin Newsom. He's lying. We know that. Bill Melusion covers immigration for Fox News. I'm sure you've seen his work. He's all over the place at this. He responded to that post from the dictator of California. Haven't seen one, not a single one, of these California National Guard soldiers in Jacumba, where the mass illegal crossings of adult men from around the world are taking place. Border Patrol there are so overwhelmed that the migrants wander aimlessly on highways and call lifts for themselves while waiting to be picked up, as San Diego sector now leads the nation in illegal crossings. I sent Governor Newsom's post below to a Border Patrol agent in Jacumba, who responded by laughing and telling me California isn't doing blank to help them with illegal crossings. Any soldiers that they see there are National Guard from other states working with the Department of Homeland Security under federal Title 10 orders. He said California soldiers are helping with the drug interdiction at ports of entry, not the mass crossing hotspots in Jacumba. If the governor's office has any images of California National Guard helping Border Patrol in Jacumba, I'm happy to update. Matt Finn also covers immigration with Fox News. We're at the California border now in Jacumba. Governor Newsom, we see migrants illegally crossing all hours of the day from China, Iran, Yemen, Nepal. Haven't seen a single California National Guard member over the month. Kevin Dalton writes, what Gavin Newsom doesn't want you to know is California is the new number one spot for illegal immigrant crossings since the 80s. And he, in his post, says a video. Join me in welcoming 68 more military-age men from all around the world who entered our country illegally with zero deterrence, background checks, or any idea what to do once they're here. If Satan can spiritually blind us, and he can blind people to what's going on in the world. So let us do this. Pray for the light of Christ to release the captives. We'll come back in the Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We are called to be in the world, but not of it, to not be changed by the things of this world. But the Fuller Theological Seminary is apparently going to redivide the body of Christ because they are being changed by the things of this world. We'll get into that. This is just now breaking. Christopher Rufo has obtained the unsealed indictment against Dr. Ethan Hame. Ethan Hame is a hero. A doctor who simply called attention to the fact, as a whistleblower who should be getting whistleblower protection, drew attention to the fact that the gender jackers who take confused children and for profit, they permanently alter their bodies with wrong sex hormones and brutal, brutal surgeries, from which those kids will probably have to have follow-on surgeries for the rest of their lives, 8, 10 of them. But hey, who's counting when someone else is paying? That's all he did. He didn't release anybody's names. He released the situation. A Houston doctor has been indicted for obtaining protected individual health information for patients that were not under his care and without authorization, announced Almadar S. Hammadi. The case against Ethan Hame, 34, of Dallas, has now been unsealed. He's set to make his initial appearance before the U.S. Magistrate Yvonne Y. Ho in Houston at 2 p.m. He's facing 10 years in federal prison and $250,000 fine. They say that he had intent to cause malicious harm to Texas Children's Hospital. Texas Children's Hospital was breaking Texas law. No one at Texas Children's Hospital who doesn't come out against this should be allowed to practice medicine ever again in their lives. The law was, you don't get to do this to kids. Texas Children's Hospital said, we don't care what the law says, and we don't care that these are children. We care about the money. And we're willing to convince ourselves that this is the right path forward to abuse these kids' bodies, because we like the money. Yeah, there are a few people who do believe, legitimately believe, this should be done to kids. A few, a very, very few. The Fuller Theological Seminary is also apparently flirting with being changed by the things of this world. Jules Combs, writing at stream.org. The Fuller Theological Seminary, one of the world's most popular theological colleges, is poised to become the first evangelical seminary in the U.S. to permit same-sex relationships on campus. The Stream detained a copy of a document called Revised Community Sexual Standards for Students and Learners, which, if passed, would allow students to marry their same-sex partners. While the seminary embraces this historical Christian understanding of sexual intimacy and marriage, we acknowledge there are faithful and thoughtful Christians and churches that have different interpretations, the draft notes. Therefore, we expect all members of this global evangelical and ecumenical seminary student and learner community to live with the integrity consistent to the Christian communities to which they belong. Dividing the body of Christ, the Christian communities to which they belong. There is one Christ, there is one body, there's one biblical interpretation of marriage. And you can say, and people do, well, that's the Paulian. That's just Paul. The Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He went to Rome where same-sex activity was rampant and common. Consequently, he spoke more about it than the other apostles. None of the other apostles said same-sex marriage is a thing or allowed. The Lord Jesus defined marriage as between a man and a woman. It is therefore because of this that a man leaves his family and clings unto his wife. The Lord Jesus consistently quoted the Old Testament, which is very clear on these things. These are not hard cases to make unless one is afraid. Afraid of being unpopular in the world. Tomorrow, I will tell you about a meeting I'd been nervous about for a little while because it could involve hurting someone's feelings. I had a family reunion, and a young family member has made the decision to live life as a man, though she is a woman. She made this decision quite a while ago. She was just about 18 at the time that she made the decision, and it was such a blessing to see her. Because you know what? Everybody in the family knows my position on this. I am, after all, a pretty public person. It's difficult if you're a family member to not know what I think. Secondly, for other reasons, people knew my opinion on this. The family all knew my opinion on this. And what a blessing. The time I got to spend with her, she would have me say him. I can't. But I'll tell you about that. Because we must speak truth wrapped in grace. And we must not seek the approval of man. This seems to me to be what the Fuller Theological Seminary is doing, seeking the approval of man. We should not be in the business of re-crucifying Christ or dividing his body, God forbid. And yet, that's what they're flirting with. They haven't made the decision yet. That's what they're flirting with. If Satan can blind us spiritually, and he can, not us Christians, not those of us who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, praise God, he can't do that to us. He can do that to non-believers. If he can do that to non-believers spiritually, why not in the ways of the world? Now, here are two people blinded by the same fascination with the sexual left and emotions as identity. After all, being attracted as a man to another man, that's an emotion. Elevating emotions to identity is a bad, bad move. It's a brilliant move if you want to destroy a nation, but it's a bad move as an individual. So let me set the stage here. A same-sex attracted man dressed as a cartoon version of a female prostitute asked a real woman who was dressed in a rainbow dress and rainbow hair about Palestine.
And so I did a study abroad in the Middle East with Israel and Palestine.
Would you say you're pro-Palestine or pro-Israel?
Pro-Palestine.
As a gay man, I would be punished and or put in prison or killed if I were openly gay in Palestine. How do you react to that?
I didn't know that. So
it is illegal to be gay in Palestine. You are punished by prison or death.
Is Israel?
No, Israel has gay pride. Okay. Israel is completely open to lesbian and gay people. So Palestine puts them in prison or kills them. You weren't aware of that?
I was not aware of that, no. So that does pose an interesting aspect.
Have you seen the Queers for Palestine movement? It's a very common movement, but I don't see any Muslims for Queer movements.
Yes. That's where it gets gray, right? Like, that's where I feel like...
Well, for me, it's not gray. I am fearful of Islam because there is no Islamic country on earth that embraces me as a gay man.
So, okay. So maybe I'm confused because Israel, which is still an Islam country, right?
No. Jewish.
Okay.
So Israel's Jewish, Palestinians are Islamic.
Okay.
So, okay. She's trying to process. Why did she choose Palestine? Because the people who run the sexual left don't care about the sexual left. The people who run it care about the end goal: burn America down and rule over the ashes. There are people who get sucked into this. My family members have been sucked into this. The thing is never the thing. The end goal is the destruction of the country, the last stage of that being the destruction of the family. Hence, telling people like me, you have to hate your young cousin who's decided to live life as a man rather than a woman, and telling her, you have to hate your far older cousin because he denies that you are a man. I can't wait to tell you about this tomorrow. I'm blessed. I probably got more out of this than she did. I felt accepted and loved. I hope she did. Say about it tomorrow. So Hunter Biden is a creature of all of this. Hunter Biden is a member of the sexual left promoting Biden family. They're strict Catholics, you know, right? Strict. And Hunter Biden himself is a creature of the flesh. After all, how many images do we have of him engaged in inflicting his sexual desires upon the bodies of women he rented, in bed, unclothed, with what looks to be children, female children, in bed, unclothed, with what appears to be a young female cousin?
Those are just the sexual aspects, so-called just. And then, of course, there's the bribery and the representing of foreign countries and the selling of his father's name and access to his father and charging people money to get on emails with his dad. This is all proven. But did you know this? Hunter Biden's working on his spirituality. Yeah, this is according to CNN. Reverend Dr. Christopher Bullock is apparently Hunter Biden's spiritual advisor, and he appeared on CNN. Christopher Bullock was asked how Hunter Biden was when he last spoke with him.
He was upbeat. He was positive, but he understood the gravity of the situation and the nature of the trial. So he is well aware of what the possibilities were, and certainly disappointed in the verdict. However, things did not go in his favor. It does not mean that the favor of God is not upon him. We believe that his faith is strong. Of course, his family is strong and with him. And I encouraged him to look to the hill from which cometh his help, all of his help coming from the Lord. But he's focused, and we know that things are going to work out in the end.
Now, I went and researched the Reverend Dr. Christopher Bullock and watched some of his sermons, and I'm going to be as kind as I possibly can. I don't mean to be rude or cruel. I took nothing from them. And I listened with an open heart. It would be great if Hunter Biden was truly, truly reaching out to the Lord. It would be great. I'm very sad to say, in watching the Reverend Doctor's teachings, I was lost. I wasn't able to draw from him any central point or theme. I really tried. I would play some for you. But honestly, I experienced them as a half hour of meandering without a point. It was really painful. And yet, apparently, he's guiding Hunter Biden. Do you see any fruits of remorse or repentance? I don't. I still see a man deeply under the guiding of Satan. Seems obvious to me. Sad. Sorry, I struggle with, I don't want to criticize this reverend. I just have to be honest with you. I think he is mentally the equivalent of Joe Biden. I really do. It's horrible to say. The Reverend Dr. Christopher Bullock was asked if Hunter Biden had remorse for his actions leading up to his conviction.
On this particular issue, the set of issues that he was charged and has now been convicted of, has he ever expressed remorse for what led to all of this?
I believe that he's aware of every step of his journey, and remorse is a part of the process. Therefore, he is prepared to move forward, knowing that God is a forgiving God. He has said in his own words that he has hurt people along the way. But we know that the power of prayer, the power of family, the power of faith can change him and any situation.
The word remorse is one thing. The word repent is another. To repent involves actual feelings of sorrow. Sorrow because you have hurt God. Wait, we can hurt God? Yes. The Lord describes himself as a jealous God, jealous for his reputation, for his glory, and he can be hurt. Jesus wept. Fully God, fully human. I don't see any remorse from Hunter Biden. I don't see any remorse from the Biden family. When your kids are astray, a reasonable, soul intact parent would feel remorse. Figurehead Biden continues to tell us his son has done nothing wrong. I mean, if he has, he's accepted responsibility, and he's the smartest and kindest man he knows. Kind men don't sex traffic people. They don't, and they don't involve themselves in it. The Reverend Dr. Christopher Bullock closes on Hunter Biden's drug addiction disease that has been controlling his life.
Listen, Abby, this addiction issue is a disease. It's impacted millions of Americans, regardless of race, creed, or color, PhD, no-D, GD, MD, JD. This disease is real. And we know that it's a journey, and it's a season in his life. And this season will hopefully end in a way in which weeping endure for a night, but joy will come in the next season.
The joy of the next season. I hope that Hunter Biden sees the next season, a season of joy. The way it's viewed now, at least the way I view it, he is divorcing himself from God completely and entirely. And I see no sign in the Biden family of what I would think they would need for this, which would be repentance. But they're part of a system. I want you to hear from Representative Thomas Massey when we get back, who's part of a system, but in the system, but not of it. You know that $17 million congressional slush fund they have to pay off, you know, hush money, to staffers who are sexually assaulted or sexually harassed by members? You hear from Thomas Massey on that. As we continue, I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Story in two parts coming up. I'll share with you, just had a family reunion this weekend and a couple things happened. Part A, I'll tell you about today. Part B is tomorrow. This interaction with this young family member who has made the decision to live life as a man, though she's a woman. So trying to have the illusion of being a man. I was really nervous about it, and God bless me, and I'm sure I got more out of it than she did. She was so kind and so loving to me. I'll tell you about a young woman that my sister and I had to team up with to try to rescue, who came up in the mountains during our family reunion. And it's just a sign of how far down we've allowed people in our society to go and how much the Lord Jesus must be counting on us. After all, the poor will always be with us, he said. Always. We talked in the last segment about a spiritual advisor to Hunter Biden, the Dr. Reverend Christopher Bullock, saying that Hunter Biden's on a journey and that he believes his faith is strong. And I don't know Hunter Biden. I don't know the Dr. Reverend Bullock. I see no signs, no fruits that would indicate to me that Hunter Biden's on any such walk with the Lord. I can't see any sign of it. Certainly not repentance. But of course, there is the Hunter Biden story of the gun crimes and then the international bribery and the selling of his father's names and et cetera, the abusing of family members, the unspeakable sexual acts among family members. Then there's Hunter Biden, the denizen of the sexual left and his party that promotes it, loves it. All makes sense. They're part of a corrupt system. The same corrupt system of which Thomas Massey is not a part. He works in the system, but apparently is able to see the corruption of the system. Representative Thomas Massey wants to expose the $17 million congressional slush fund used to pay money to people sexually harassed or assaulted by members of Congress.
You know, Congress has paid over $17 million in hush money for sexual misconduct inside of the offices in these buildings. And what's more is that was taxpayer money, right? The allegation is that President Trump paid $130,000 of his own money. But here in Congress, there may be some on this dais. I mean, I'm for turning loose all of these records. Who in here has had the taxpayer pay for their sexual misconduct charges, the hush money? I bet there's some over there. There may be some over here. I don't know, but I do know it's taxpayer money, and I do know not a single penny of it has been turned in as a campaign finance expense. I mean, Is the FEC going to investigate the $17 million that the Congress has paid to settle, behind closed doors, these sexual misconduct allegations?
Congressman, if a complaint were to come to us about it, I'm sure it would be thoroughly investigated.
Yes, of course. Very, very thoroughly investigated. Of course it would be. Now, meanwhile, Representative Jamie Raskin, a multimillionaire, or let me say it this way, multimillionaire Jamie Raskin pretends to care about financial ethics.
And it's just like the normal business as usual at the Supreme Court that they're collecting millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars from their so-called friends. And so we need to clean that up. And that's why, you know, we said we're going to start with something simple that the whole country will be able to understand immediately and intuitively. We want a $50 gift ban for U.S. Supreme Court justices. They make $300,000 a year. Pay for your own lunch and pay for your own vacation.
Okay. Constitutionally, you can't do that because they're co-equal branches, but you can in Congress do something. So, Jamie, why don't you sponsor Thomas Massie's push to out the names of congressional representatives who forced the taxpayers to secretly pay for their sexual offenses. How about that? Constitutionally, you cannot control the Supreme Court. Constitutionally, you do control Congress. I bet you won't, Jamie. I bet you won't. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Jamie Raskin on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I think prove this point. Some of these people are the results of being conned by supposedly wise people. LA City Council members, wise people, removed the no U-turn signs in a same-sex attracted neighborhood. The signs you see were homophobic.
I was also surprised that these these U-turn signs were still up. And at first, you know, they seem a little... it's just a no U-turn sign. But when you learn the history of it and you realize that these were used to profile gay people, it's so important that we have these removed.
So how did they profile gay people? They apparently made it impossible for same-sex attracted people to meet and hang out. No U-turn signs did that. Now, they're not alone at the LA City Council. Meet a man who calls himself maybe a girl. That's the name, maybe a girl. He agrees with the LA City Council.
So yes, we are claiming this as a victory for the LGBTQIA community, specifically here in Silver Lake, because those signs very much were used to target and discriminate against gay people. So yes, no U-turn signs. Other signs can be used for ulterior motives, for reasons to discriminate against marginalized community.
Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Sadly, this person is not only confused by his gender, he thinks he's not human.
I am a robot or android of sorts. I am not human, and I lack the ability to fully act human, because since I spawned in this human body, I have not been able to access the internet and download new ways of acting.
Seeking attention, perhaps. I would tell you this, a friend of mine's son legitimately believes he's a werewolf. Legitimately. He's had his teeth shaved into fangs. He's had his eyes altered, permanently altered, to appear to be reptilian. And he is fundraising to get scales. And there is a doctor who's told him, yeah, I'll put scales on you if you can raise the money. I'll make your skin appear scale-like. If Satan can blind you spiritually, How can he not blind you into the reality of who you yourself are? It is vital that when we listen to clips like that, we also pray for the people involved, and we never, ever, ever let hate enter our hearts. That anytime we interact with people who've fallen into this, we pray to let the Holy Spirit guide those interactions. We must do that. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him
on a disciple's view.
Before we get to this story about my happening at my family reunion this weekend, I would be remiss to not do this. With Father's Day so near, just a quick reminder that there are five Americans still being held kidnapped and held captive in Gaza. Idan Alexander is 19 from New Jersey. Omer Nuetra, 22 from New York. Hirsch Goldberg Poland, 23 from Virginia. Sagu Dikel Shen, 35 from Connecticut. And Keith Samuel Siegel, 64 from North Carolina. Kidnapped on October 7th, still held. And may God see to it that they're still alive. Because sadly, many people, of course, have been murdered by Hamas. And may God bring them home. Had a family reunion over the weekend. We went up not really far in the mountains. There's a lot of mountains around where I live. This was up above a lake called Liberty Lake and up above a neighborhood. And it became sparse and much more rural. There was a park up there, a state park. And my older cousins, well, one aunt and one cousin, made the decision to do this in June, mid-June. And they've lived to regret that. It was a day of pretty awful weather for this time of year, pretty cold and pretty rainy. We did have shelter and catered food, and it was a relief to see people from the family, many of whom I barely remembered because I was so young last time I saw them, many I know well. I'll tell you tomorrow about this interaction with this young woman. I'd been excited to see her. I'd just been nervous about how the interaction would go, and she just blessed me and can't wait to tell you about this. Halfway through this event, this family reunion, after food had been served, and I had one plate of turkey and my daughter's vegan potato salad, there was a strange sound. It sounded like a murder of crows. And then it sounded like screaming. My young cousin, I'll tell you about her tomorrow, P is the name, the letter I'll use for P. P heard it and went running up the hill. I saw P running and I ran. I realized, yeah, that is screaming. We got up there. P had, with love in her heart, knelt down next to a young woman, probably not much older than her, probably even her age. And P had knelt down and she caught my eye as I was walking up to her and she said, "I need help." My cousin said this to me. I said, "I know. And thank you for what you did. You did great." And I asked her to go to my truck and get my bug out bag. My bug out bag contains my med kit and at this point, a reflective blanket to help bring warmth to this girl who was shaking and shivering. She'd been driving a truck. We later learned, according to the park facilities guy, she'd been driving it erratically. Not surprising. She was in a state of mental collapse. Her truck was running next to her. She was laying on her side on the dirt road, shivering, and said to me, "I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I can't live. I can't do it anymore." And so I knelt down with her and said, "We're going to help you." And I asked her name. She gave me her nickname, Oz. And I've since learned she gave me her real name eventually. But her nickname is Oz. And Oz was in a bathrobe. Her truck was filled with her belongings. And she told me, "I've been raped my whole life. I'm pregnant right now. I just escaped a family in Montana who was treating me like a dog. They had me leashed." I asked her to tell me the name of the couple. And she did. And I put my hand on her head. And I said, "Oz, you picked a good place to stop. There's a bunch of nurses down there and firefighters and people who want to help. In a second, I'm going to pick you up off that cold ground and get you warm, okay?" I asked her, honey, have you taken anything today? And she said, nothing, just pot, just pot, just pot. You can smoke pot to a degree that you can give yourself psychoses, drug-induced psychoses. Never, ever buy the lie that pot is harmless. It's not. I have young family members who smoke it. It's disturbing to me. I know there's probably people listening to this who will tell you, oh, I manage my marijuana well and I'm okay. Okay. I don't think so, but okay. Oz was not okay. She was shaking and shivering and white, and her lips had turned white. And I asked her, honey, have you eaten anything? And she said, not in a couple days. Someone gave me chicken, but I don't know if it's good anymore. So I went down to get her some cookies and some simple sugars while P stayed with her, and I went to get my sister. My sister is a nurse practitioner with great skills. She's also been a rape crisis counselor. I told my sister what's going on, and she came up with me up the hill. And I gave Oz cookies and soda to try to raise her blood sugar. My sister stepped in. I draped a coat over her. My sister's an agnostic. And I put my hat that had the cross of the Lord Jesus on her head. And she began to talk with Oz. And eventually, we arrived at the fact that we were going to have to adopt her for a few hours. The park facilities people wanted her kicked out. They wanted her to get in her truck and drive away. And we said, absolutely not. She's with us now. So we waited for the mental health people to arrive. Oz went to sleep in the back of her truck. I relocated the truck while she slept into the parking lot. I told her I was going to do that. I kept her keys. I wasn't going to let her flee. And then my sister sat together in that truck as the rest of the family was gathered down below in my big truck, getting warm, and we spoke. And when the police came, because ultimately that was the only thing that could get the mental health people to respond was calling the police. When the police came, my sister said, I can't, Todd. I can't watch her get arrested. I said, hopefully the ambulance will be here before they cuff her. The police officer that responded later told me this was the third time that day they dealt with Oz. She'd already removed herself from one hospital. He told me maybe she'll stay in this time. I hope she does. In the beginning was the word was with God, until God decides you and I can speak again together. May his peace that transcends all understanding wash over you and your families and over Oz. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.